Team. I look forward to being here today to sharing with you this message. For those of you that are guests today, that's my wife that stood up here during announcement time. And if you didn't know, she lost her father a week ago Friday. And we were at the funeral and graveside the last couple days with the family. And that's what she was referencing. And I don't know, after yesterday, you know, snowstorm coming, and we were supposed to take Preston back to Pennsylvania, back to Detroit, so we could fly back to Pennsylvania. Well, that flight was canceled. Praise God. So I found myself, and we found ourselves kind of huddled up there in the house with not a rare day, with not a lot going on, and with time to think and to wait and to praise. And the phrase that I shared with you last week from at the end of the message from the hymn "Abide with Me" kept coming back to me because I couldn't imagine what I was feeling, the heart that I had at that time, kind of getting back in the saddle of things. Three words: help of the helpless, is what just kept kind of rehearsing itself in my head. Help of the helpless. And I realized that is, I'm the helpless and he's my help. And that's why I stand before you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Because he's the help of the helpless. And he's the hope of the hopeless. And he's the boldness of the fearful. I'm a lot of those things on the right hand of those phrases. But I was anxious to come before you and kind of look ahead again. Yesterday for me was a day of waiting and just kind of being with the Lord and being with Bonnie and being with my thoughts. But today, I want to look ahead a little bit in a message called Climb. In our series, our New Year's series, we started this year asking a question. Is there not a cause? And young David, 1 Samuel 17, helped us to formulate an answer, to answer that question as he faced a hand-to-hand combat specialist, a guy who was 9'9" tall by the name of Goliath. I wonder how many guys he killed in his life before he faced young David. I bet it was quite a few. But he never faced somebody like David. David, you see, believed Yahweh when God said to him, "I am, I'll be all that's necessary as your Goliath occasions arise." And God was true to his name for David. And today, you and I know not only that name, Yahweh, as Derek was sharing, but we also know Yeshua, Yahweh's one and only son, whose name means Yahweh saved. We know the gospel, that God has taken on the most giant of them all, sin and death. And we know the cause of living as citizens in the kingdom of God, the family of God, the body of Christ. And we know our place in it is to live in such a way as to build that kingdom, to multiply that family, and to strengthen that body as Christ lives in us and we live seated in Christ. Yes, there is a cause. So in the last two Sundays, we've asked ourselves that question, is there not a cause? And then we've been encouraged to own it. Last week's message, own it, to own the cause of Christ in 2018, where we looked at our sanctification, where we were called to take our seat in Christ and therefore to stand and walk that out in this world. Today, I want to make that more practical even, if you would. So I'm going to give you a list. Now, if you have been familiar with this church for a while, you know I'm not normally big on lists. Lists, to me, tend to smack of legalism. You know, you just check them off. Do this, do that, do this, do that, and then you're good to go. So I kind of, almost kind of steer away from that. But in this case, since Our list is I think it's principled. It's not just a list of do this and don't ever do that. I think this could be good. It's not so much about the doing. I would say it's about the freeing. The freeing of the God life within, unquenching the Spirit's rule and reign in us so we live present time Christ consciously in any and every given day. So this list is about intentionality and purpose. Say intentionality with me. Here we go. One, two, three. Intention. Say purpose.
Purpose.
I love those words. Intention and purpose. They inspire me. I want to live intentionally on purpose every day. The trouble with that for me is that the little things of life kind of distract me. Things like making meals and eating meals and cleaning houses and balancing checkbooks and paying bills and doing the things you need to do and going to work and coming home. Those things tend to sap sometimes the dynamic from my mind and make me more, I don't know if I'd call it task-oriented. Maybe that's what I'd call it. It makes me more that than spirit-oriented. So, I don't know, let's dive in today and hear if the Lord's going to speak to us today or not, and I believe He will. So this message, as you see on your outline, is called Climb, and it's inspired from Psalm 120 through 134. Don't panic. I'm not going to exegete 15 chapters of the Bible, okay? Those 15 psalms, though, are known collectively as the Psalms of Ascents. Ascents comes from the word ascend, which means to climb upward, like ascending a hill or a mountain. You see, Jerusalem, and some of you have been there, and you know this better than I, you've experienced it, that Jerusalem is a city built high up in the Judean hills. So to get to Jerusalem from anywhere, it amounted to an upward climb or drive. And historians and theologians believe that these psalms, these particular 15 psalms, were sung by Israelite pilgrims as they moved upward on the roads leading into Jerusalem for the annual feasts. Feasts like Passover, or the Feast of Trumpets, or the Feast of Tabernacles. So, you're moving up into Jerusalem. You're climbing, if you will. How does that word picture of climbing up to Jerusalem remind you and I to live intentionally and on purpose, building the kingdom of God, the body of Christ in 2019. Well, what we're going to do today is use the word CLIMB, C-L-I-M-B, as an acronym of five things. That's my list that we want to invest in. Listen to me now. Every single day of our lives. And I believe that if any of you would focus and invest in these five things each day, that God's intentionality and purpose would multiply itself in spirit power in our lives. And our lives would no longer sort of drift by. You get my drift? You ever live that way? Life kind of drifts by. One day kind of bleeds into the next like zombies under a trance. We can live each day pregnant with Zoe life, owning the cause of God's name. So let's climb together, let's ascend together and moving each day toward eternal intentionality and purpose. What's the first letter? C. It stands for connect. Say connect with me. Connect. And that means connect with Christ every day. Every day we need to do something in the Word, in prayer, that connects us dynamically and relationally to Christ, because He is too important and too life-giving to be ignored. I mean, He is, after all, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, right? Too important, too life-giving to be ignored for even a single day. A day without connecting with Christ is a day you might as well stay in bed, eternally speaking. You guys remember the account of Mary and Martha when Jesus came to eat at their home in Luke 10? You know that story, right? Remember, Martha was busy, busy, busy. She was taking care of the tasks to host Jesus. Whereas Mary, she was just sitting at Jesus' feet, being with Jesus and enjoying Him. You know, so often churches in America are so busy, I think, working for Jesus that they neglect to just be with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? In the end, Jesus told Martha these gentle but powerful words that cut really deep and true into me. Luke 10:41. He said, Martha, Martha, you are, what's the next three words? Worried and upset. You ever go through times in your life where you're worried and upset? I do a lot. You are worried and upset about what? Many things. And they can vary. Worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Martha, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That's pretty cool. It will not be taken away from her. You can gripe. You can complain. You can control. You can condemn. But it's not going to be taken away from her. Working for Jesus, folks, is good, but it's not the one thing needed. And I'm talking to me as much as I am to you. Working for Jesus is good, but it's not the one thing needed. The better thing is to enjoy Him, be with Him, connect with Him. And ways that we connect with Christ are through prayer, reading the Scriptures, meditating, memorizing Scripture, journaling, and of course, on occasion, doing all that with a brother or sister in Christ, a small group, essential stuff. What's the C stand for? Connect with Christ every single day in 2019. The L stands for, you ready for this? Say it with me. Learn. Learn something new. This kind of stirs me up. The world that God has given us, and this is why we're doing what we're doing in Pioneer Club. Because the world that God has given us, though under the heavy curse of sin and death, it still overflows with, here's my word, discovery to the glory of God. I love the word discovery. I do not have the Discovery Channel. I don't know why I don't have the Discovery Channel. I should have the Discovery Channel because I love the word discovery. But discovery, I love that word. When God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, to do that was going to require of them all manner of learning, the raw materials and the amazing wonders that God had built into it all, ready to be resourced and fine-tuned to God's glory. Whenever I watch, I like to watch science stuff on PBS. I watch that stuff on occasion. And, of course, a lot of it is godless, evolutionary, foundationally. But I look at that and say, you don't know it. But you are glorifying God in what you're doing because you're displaying His image and even asking the questions and seeking to answer them. You're displaying the image of God and you're discovering the resources that He provided in this planet for you to use. And I just think, man, I just see the glory of God in people, whether they acknowledge Him or not. In their intellect, in their skill, in their talent, in their reasoning, in their pursuit, in their passion. It's all there. It's awesome. The reason I chose to study biological sciences in my higher education, biology and math, was motivated by this right here, by discovery of the complexity and order that God had designed into living systems. And when I understood, for example, the replication, understood in quotes, because I didn't understand it fully, but understood the replication of DNA, for example, I understood a bit more about the limitless wisdom of the mind of God. And that motivated me to discover, to learn, until I was passionate about that. I loved to teach it. And then it began to change to, wow, I'm teaching the principles in this biology book, and I got this book over here that's inspiring me. What if, I wonder if I could teach that? And I had been doing so and did so some more, and the Lord just worked, and kind of here I am. So I'm not teaching out of a biology book anymore. I moved from the J. I used to tell my basketball coach that I coached with all those years, I'm moving from the JV to the varsity now. I'm going to teach God's word to people. Discovery. Listen, folks, God has blessed you, each of you, with healthy minds, and he's placed you in a universe that's bursting with things to figure out and learn to his glory. And it's not just earthy stuff. I'm talking relationships, too. How to relate with people, how to build relationships, how to encourage people, how to challenge people, how to be a friend to a person. Man, he's giving you a good, use your mind, develop it to the utmost. A God-given mind is a terrible thing to waste. And sometimes, man, with the negativity that with which we see ourselves, or with which we speak to ourselves, negative self-talk, I'm not good enough this way, and I'm not good enough that way, and I could never do this, and I could never do that. Is that really the way we want to use our minds? It's a terrible thing to waste. Ways you might learn something new every day might be reading a book. If that's not your thing, just asking people questions. People that know more about things, you have an experience. One of the things in my life that just, I wish I could live for 1,000 years to learn everything there is to learn. Maybe 10,000 years, I couldn't learn at all. But I love to talk to people that do things different than I do and ask them, hey, how you do that? What's up with that? What's that like? And that does a couple of things. A, it teaches me things, but B, it builds relationship because I'm being curious about their life. And it's pretty cool to just be curious about the things that God has made and the people that God has made and what they're all about and what they do. It's a beautiful thing. Asking questions of people who know more about things you haven't experienced. Taking a class, studying God's Word. Go to BSF with a number of the ladies from our church that also attend and love that opportunity. That stands for Bible Study Fellowship, by the way. You know, too many of us, I think terribly and negatively of ourselves. Yes, we're all sinners. We all know that. But that's not, that Jesus has redeemed that, okay? He's taking care of that. And if you know him, you can become more like he is each day. So, you know, too much insecurity, fear. And we avoid anything new for fear that we might fail or be shown to be lesser than somebody else. That's just all nonsense. You know, get out there and discover. Stretch yourself in faith rather than limit yourself in fear. And do it for the glory of God. Breaking out of that cocoon of insecurity and negativity. So what's the L stand for? Learn something new. Discover. Then there's the I. I stands for invest. Say that with me. Invest in people. Do something every day to invest in someone else. I'm still not very good at this, but seeking to encourage. Encourage people, learn to do that. So many times we think, man, I really appreciate what so-and-so did or how so-and-so is or the way that they serve. And then we don't tell them. We don't say anything to them about it. Encourage them. Affirm them. Learn to encourage, to praise, to appreciate. Learn to move towards other people. Be friendly. Be inviting. Let the Christ that's in you out. Because Jesus isn't afraid of people, right? Amen. He's not afraid of people, and he lives in you. Jesus loved to be around people, to talk to people, to listen to people, to ask penetrating questions. So do something every day to connect your soul with somebody else's. Because when you do, you're connecting the Christ in you with them too. So whatever, visit your neighbor, bake somebody cookies, send a card, show appreciation, ask how they're doing, really mean it. Ask someone forgiveness. There's a huge one. You want to build some relationship? Wade into those waters. And listen, when and if you connect, here's the thing that we need to do with that. And if somebody ever ends up asking you, hey, why are you reaching out to me like this? Why did you come over? Why are you being nice to me? That's your opportunity to be bold and say, because Jesus reached out to me. Because he loves me, he saved me, and I want to love him back. And so I chose you to love in Jesus' name. I invest in people every day. And if you do this and people end up, here's the risk. If you do this, if you invest in people every day and people end up hurting you, guess what? They will. It happens. Here's what you do with that. You take that hurt and you turn it right around on its head and you turn it into praise. And you pray something like this: God, thank you, because now I know a little bit more about how Jesus suffered when he reached out and loved people. So turn it right around and make it praise to God. Where are we at so far? What's the C? Connect. What's the L? And the I. And here we are at the M. Move. Say move. Move towards your vision. This is the toughest one, I think. But this one really has more to do with intentionality and purpose than any other. Now, this one might be more for certain types of personalities or certain types of people. I'm not sure about that, but I present it to you because of the importance it was for me in my life. Because I'm one of those that think, you know, you can't move towards something you haven't targeted. Do you have a God-given kind of vision for your life? And if not, then ask yourself this question: what has God created me, and then fill in the blank with your name, comma, to accomplish? That's a huge question. Now, I think your spiritual gift is going to have much to do with this one. And in our membership class, which we're starting next Saturday, I see Jackie and Heidi here today. They'll be involved with that and others as well. But there's a part of our class that focuses just on that, just on ways that you can discover and what might be the gift that God has given you. But I can't magnify enough the importance in my own life personally of understanding these three words: purpose, mission, vision. And some of you know that out of one of the darkest times in my life, when you all graciously granted me sabbatical time to just kind of wrestle with God, that out of that time came a much clearer definition and understanding of these concepts. So that my purpose statement, I've shared with this, I think, one other time, but I'm going to share it again. My purpose statement, that it took me like a long time to craft each word very intentionally. My purpose is to relate with God in every thought, feeling, and decision. To embrace by faith the hope of Christ's calling, the riches of his inheritance, and the power of his resurrection. Knowing that I am I'm not the only one, a temple of the Holy Spirit, set free and victorious. Salt and light on this earth. That's my purpose statement. The core of it is relate with God. Everything. So this funeral, this burial, this day of waiting yesterday, I can remind myself the purpose, my purpose in all of this is to relate with God in every second of it. Now, my mission statement, by the way, the purpose is the why of your life. Why are you doing this kind of thing? The mission is the what. Okay, so if you got your purpose, then what is it you're actually going to do? And my mission statement is this: my what is to make disciples. That's the core of it. Now, how do I do that? Well, for me, it's by exerting a spirit-empowered relational influence on people. I want to be different. Weird, if you will, even, in a good way. A spirit-empowered relational influence on people to understand and apply God's truth by evangelizing and discipling them, winning them to Christ, and teaching them to experience the gospel in community. That's important. The gospel in community, and by writing and preaching toward those ends. So that's my what. And then vision, we don't have time to get into that much, but vision is where, that's the why, the what, and this is the how. How are you going to do that purpose and mission? And vision is where you get down into the nitty-gritty of how you're going to accomplish that. And that needs to be almost reworked a few times a year as you focus on specific ways, visional ways of how you're going to accomplish that. So purpose is why, mission is what, vision is how. And I went through some teaching and training on that that was really helpful to me. And at some point, I would really like to take one or two at a time and take you through that. And out on the end of that, if you're this kind of person that you would have hanging on the wall in your office or your barn or whatever, your purpose statement, a collection of words that was crafted as you wrestled with God, and it's just you, those are your words from the Heavenly Father that describe your why and your what and your how. Move towards your vision. That's the M. Let's review them one more time. C, L, I, and M. Move towards your vision. And then, let's see, where am I at? Lost my place. Oh, B, body. Oh, boy. This is getting convicting now. Do something for your body. Your body, folks, is the vehicle that God has given you on this earth to accomplish His will and purpose. If your body goes to pot, you're going to have a hard time living intentionally and on purpose. I know that through experience. There's a quote on my wall that reads, "Your body's a gift from God. What you do with it is your gift to God." So each day, do something healthy for your body. And I'm going to challenge myself to practice what I preach right here. Exercise, eat healthier, get the rest your body needs, cut the sugars, take a mini Sabbath. There are lots of ways you can do something each day for the vehicle in which your soul rides around, your body. And this one is, of course, proven to be really important for me, having been diagnosed with diabetes of a type 2 nature and high blood pressure, and being a human rock garden, as I am, the longevity of my ministry is vitally connected, and I realize that more right now than ever before, to how I care for my body. And I love this passage, I always have, Colossians 3, it says, "Whatever you do," say that with me, "whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all." Here it is, "in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Take two things out of that: the name of the Lord and thanksgiving. So this is your why. I'm doing it in the name of Christ, and this is how I'm going to do it, with a thankful heart. That's two powerful combos right there, isn't it? But to me right now, I love that passage, but 1 Corinthians 10:31 is even better. It's even more practical and convicting. Kind of along the same lines. But it says this: so whether you eat or drink, that means all the way down to what you stink and put in your mouth, or whatever you do. Same language as Colossians 3. Whether you eat, I'm so glad he put that in there, because I would have just skipped over that part. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, when I read that, this is just the way I am. I ask myself, what does that mean? Some of you know a guy named John Piper, and he wrote this whole series of things on the glory of God and delight and all that stuff. And I was always a little frustrated it's great stuff. I loved his books. But to me, I needed more about God's glory. Because if I am called to do everything for God's glory, then I ask myself, well, what am I doing it for? I need to understand what that phrase means, the glory of God. What is that? And people say, well, the glory of God is all that he is. It is the sum total of his attributes. And so I'm saying, okay, I'm doing everything I'm doing in my life for the sum total of God's. See, it didn't give me anything to grab onto and say, that inspires me. Because it's all that God is. It didn't grab me. I needed. It's true. The sum total of all God's attributes is his glory, but it didn't grab me, didn't inspire me and motivate me so that I could say, this is why I'm taking this hard thing on, this very difficult discipline. So in my own thinking and praying about the glory of God, I sum it up this way. I've shared it with you before, that the glory of God is his self-giving. It's just he's a giver. He gives himself away. He is selfless. And so to glorify God is to show his selflessness by my own selflessness. And let me tell you something. When I'm having that second or third brownie, who am I thinking about? That is not a selfless act at all. When I'm corroding my body, if any of you struggle with porn or with food that satiates the flesh but damages my body, all things, you know, we know that all things are good in moderation. I'm not saying, no, don't you ever touch that brownie. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I just love the fact that it goes all the way to the core of selflessness. And when I'm doing things that are damaging to me, that's not proclaiming God's self-giving nature. It's promoting my own selfish desires. It's corroding my soul, my body, damaging the intention and purpose of my life in Christ. So, the glory of God, I want to be a giver. Like Jesus. Do you? Because that holy desire goes all the way down to the core of your being. And then it goes all the way out from there to what you eat and drink and why you do that. So B stands for body. 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So there it is. I just want to encourage you to consider this climb in 2019. C, connect with Christ. L, learn something new. Invest in people. Move towards your vision. And do something for your body every day. And if you embrace this message to make it something that you are going to act on in the power of His Holy Spirit, don't do it by yourself. Don't. What I mean by that is I don't even mean right now do it with somebody else. What I'm saying is you need to stay PTCC, present time, Christ conscious. Do with the awareness of God's Spirit empowering you. You do it in obedience to Christ and in the presence of His Spirit. Make it an act of worship, in other words. Not just a resolution, not just a discipline. Make it worship. And let's make 2019 the most freeing, the most unquenched, the most ungrieved that the Holy Spirit has ever been in our midst. Let's climb. Father God, I thank you for, when you list the fruit of your Holy Spirit in your word, that very last one, self-control, self-discipline. I haven't even looked that up in the Greek yet, Lord. But I sure do get self-control and self-discipline because their opposites go all the way down to the basement of who I am. And you know, in times in my life, I've been able to do the hard things, to deny the flesh, And other times I've wrestled with that and not been victorious. And it's directly proportional to how closely I am walking with you, how much time I'm enjoying Jesus and sitting at your feet, Lord. There have been times when the very thought of sin is repulsive to me. I hate it because of what it does to you. There have been other times where I've given into it and relished it. And I think we're all in those same boats. I thank you. I look forward to the day when I see Jesus face to face and I'll be like him. And sin won't even be in the picture in that day because it won't be in your presence. And I know that's the journey you have all of us on. And until then, your patience and your forgiveness, past, present, and future, your mercy, your sanctification, that when we believe that we're seated, we can better stand and walk. All those things are part of it. And I just present this message as worship to you and pray that I'd be about these dynamic things, that your Spirit would be free and powerful to move in and through me, in and through your people here, and in and through our body. And it's in Jesus' name I present it to you. Amen.